How you doing? Good. Was it spring break for the kids this week? So some of you are, your children are going to go back to school tomorrow, and you're going to go, ha, and have a rest, right? So we had our grandkids over this past week because they have 2 weeks off, actually, where they come from. So we had them, and we had some good news as well. We got told it would be grandparents in September. That makes 5 will come for us. And what is really interesting is when this one is born, the oldest one will be 17, turning 17. So my daughter has children from 17 to newborn in the fall, which is quite something. But it's typical in our family. My mom and dad have great grandkids that are older than their grandchildren. It's kind of that type of family for some reason. I don't know. But it's quite interesting. Other thing, too, is want to ask is, is somebody missing one of these? I found it out in the snowbank, out front. Anybody? I'm going to give it to you, and then you can look after it. All right? It's better because you're here, so it's probably somebody that isn't here today. But you can look after that for me, okay? It was found just out in the front here, so a couple Sundays ago. All right? And a couple Sundays ago, we were talking about belonging to the Lord, and I talked about we have to pray for our government, and that there was a bumper sticker out there. Well, today I actually got one given to me. It does say that. It says, pray for Justin Trudeau, Psalms 109, verse 8. So they're out there. So, you know, and we need to pray for our government. We do need to pray for the election that's coming up here in 2 weeks. Kind of a goofy time to have it. And then we have also for our federal election come up in November, and we might even have one sooner the way it's going on in Ottawa right now. But we need to pray for them. We need to pray for our leaders. And the way our country is being torn apart as it is, we need God to be there and that His will is done through what our leaders are doing. All right? So we need to pray for them. And God's put them there for a reason. We may not like it, but He's put them there for a reason. And we need to obey. Even though we may grumble, we still need to obey. All right? So this morning, I'm going to continue on with this series I've been working on, the importance of being a Christian. And this morning, we're going to look at living by faith. Living by faith. And I began this series March 10th, actually. And I began with looking at the whole idea of a Christian is a person who is reborn. How many of you were here March 10th? Some of us will admit it, some of us won't. That's okay. Because in Christ, you and I are a new creation. You have a new life. You've passed from death to life, passed from spiritual death to eternal life, passed from the darkness of sin in the world that is controlled by Satan to God's wondrous light. And that makes us a light to the world that we're in as well. And we also have a new loyalty, and that is to serve Christ. He is to be Lord of all, not just some of life or part of my life or this, all of it. And then the second one I looked at was one that challenged our thinking by asking, don't you know you do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price? Thus we belong to the Lord. We are God's special people. And with that comes special responsibilities, a lot of responsibilities. We're also God's beloved children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus as well. And we are also God's pilgrims. We are just on a journey, for our citizenship is where? Where? In heaven. That's where our citizenship is. And someday we will be there. We don't know when, but we will be there. We're just waiting that. And an important aspect of being a Christian involves the element of faith. We are to live by faith. Now, I don't know if I've got the right wording, but sometimes you take a word and you take every letter and you put a little meaning to it. What's it called? A what? Acronym or? Acrostic? Good. I was trying to figure it out this week, and I couldn't figure it out. Thanks very much. Anyways, and I have one for faith. If it'll come up there, Steve. Okay, this is it here. So it starts with F. Faith fixes our eyes on God. A, faith acts on God's commands. I, faith identifies with God's calling. And T, faith takes God at his promises. And H, faith has a proper view of the future. And that is faith in a nutshell. We're probably going to talk on some of these and touch on some of these this morning, but we will look at it later. And I do know that some of us talk with great emotion about our faith. But one thing we have to realize, we have to put boots to it as well. Faith has to be a big part of our life. So what I want to begin with is I want to look at how the word faith is used in the Bible. I want to just to take a few places and show you how faith is used. The gospel to which we responded to is in becoming a Christian is called the faith. In Jude 3, Jude says, friends, while I, as Jude, was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt necessary to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. So here he is, he's beginning to write on salvation, and God is leading him in a different direction. He wants him to talk about contending for the faith. And we know that Jude is a letter that deals with those people who come in and destroy the faith. And of course, the faith is referred to as the gospel. And as Christians, we're called or referred to as the household of faith. So all of us sitting here today are referred to as the household of faith. And also, faith is the foundation for all our conduct as well. Galatians 6:10. It says, so then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, not just some or some people that we choose, but to all people, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. And that's a good thing that we're doing for our sister here, helping her with her needs, medical needs. We're reaching out. We're called the household of faith. And faith is essential to our salvation in Christ. In Romans 1, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Not just this person or that person or so and so. Everyone. Everyone is included. For the gospel tells us how God makes us right in his sight. And this is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As God's word says, the righteous shall live by faith. Also, faith is central to the life that we now live in Christ. Galatians 2:20. I'm kind of got a glare here, but it's okay. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then in 2 Corinthians, we read, we live by faith, not by sight. So these verses have some very important truths. We are to live right now by faith, not sight. Do you find that difficult? Good. I'm glad somebody's honest. Why do we struggle with our faith? Why? One of the reasons is we are physical beings. We're physical beings. We like things to be tangible. When God says we're to live by faith, that's a little different. Truth is that the nature of faith and its importance in our life is often misunderstood as well. And could you answer such question as, what is faith and what faith is not? Or how does faith work and why? To be brutally honest, most of us would kind of stumble over answering those questions and how it applies to our everyday lives. Not only you, but me. I stumble from time to time over it as well. And because we find that this is normal, we often have a problem with our faith, kind of struggle with it. Sometimes we neglect it as well. And so this morning I just want to look at and emphasize what it means to live or be living by faith. And what that entitles may be clearer as we first define the meaning of faith. The meaning of faith. Webster's Dictionaries. You know, one of those books that we can get and look all these words up and find definitions. Some of us may have forgotten already what those are, right? We just go to our little iPhones and just punch it in and away it goes. Webster's Dictionary states that faith is allegiance to duty or a person. Of course, we looked at that a couple of weeks ago. Our duties or responsibilities because we belong to the Lord include growing spiritually, living by faith, doing God's will, to abstain from the life that we used to live. There's a lot of stuff that goes with it. And our allegiance or loyalty as a person reborn is to Jesus Christ. Everything is focused on Him now. And the rest of the definition says belief and trust in God, or a system of religious beliefs. That's Webster's Dictionary. The Bible Dictionary states that faith is trusting commitment of one person to another, particularly of a person to God. Faith is the central concept of Christianity. One may be called a Christian only if they have faith. God's Word also has a definition of faith. Where is that found? Does anybody know? Hebrews what? 11:1, right? It says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So in a nutshell, faith is what we believe in. In fact, it is Christianity itself. But primarily, faith is the relationship we have with God through what Christ accomplished through His death, burial, and resurrection. And we're going to be celebrating that in a couple weeks' time. And within these definitions, there are three ideas involved in the meaning of faith. First, faith involves belief. Belief. And what I mean is this. We have the certainty or conviction of what we have and believe is the truth. We believe in certain things concerning Jesus. First of all, Jesus is the Creator. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He is the Creator? Look what John 1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Which means what? It's finished. God just didn't take stuff and just throw it out there and tell it and do whatever you need to do. Develop. No. He did all things, and He made it, and He finished it. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. It's done. It's completed. And then in verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So He is our Creator. We also believe in the virgin birth. Matthew 1. Now this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, and Joseph did what the angel commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Very central to our beliefs and our faith is the virgin birth. Also, too, Jesus was entirely free from sin. In 1 Peter, we read these words. He, that is Jesus, committed no sin, and no deceit was found in His mouth. And then in 1 John, but you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. And we believe that He was crucified on a cross. He died, placed in a tomb, and rose on the third day. 1 Corinthians tells us Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And what were the Scriptures that Paul was referring to? The Old Testament. The Old Testament tells us about Christ's death. He was buried and that He was raised from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. And also, we believe that someday soon He will return to gather us into His presence for all eternity. For all eternity. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "We who are still alive, still living, when the Lord returns, will not rise to meet Him ahead of those who are in their graves. The Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the call of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, all the Christians who have died will rise from their graves, and then together with them we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and remain with Him forever." You waiting for that day? You waiting for the sound? Are you? Well, I sure am. I pray that you are too. Because someday soon it will sound. It could sound today before this service is over. And we'll be home with Him. Won't that be exciting? Some of you looking at me, I wonder. It's exciting, isn't it? Such faith and such belief comes through the hearing and the reading and the meditating of God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ." So God has wonderful ways of getting our attention, and one of these ways is through His written Word. And what is so marvelous is that God has an endless number of ways of reaching those who have not put their faith in Jesus. And one way is He uses you and me to make the message known. And when those without Christ are reached, it is because we are declaring the praises of God. We are declaring His Word to them. Along with the Holy Spirit and God's Word finally convicts them. And then they too will believe. But we need to do it. We need to get out there. Get dirty, shall we say. Remember, the only way to have eternal life is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Jesus even said that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's no other way. No other way. Second, faith involves confidence. Let me just take a drink here. Oops. I'll get that later. This is the willingness to place our trust and reliance on someone else. Now, all of you here today demonstrated faith when you came into this building. How many of you actually took that chair you sat on, flipped it over to make sure it was engineered to carry your weight? Or took it out and did an actual study on it? How many of you did that? None of us did, right? We just sat on the chair knowing the manufacturer did it right. That's faith. And that's how we're to put our faith in God as well. That's it. Just put it that way. Trusting Him that He is reliable and He'll take care of everything in our lives. Let's look at what God's Word said about Abraham. In Romans 4, "For the Scripture tells us Abraham believed God, so God declared him to be righteous." And then verses 20 to 22 says, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised, and that is why he was credited to him righteousness." We all know the story about Abraham. He never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, even Scripture tells us in verse 20 that his faith was strengthened because of God's promises in his life. And he glorified God through it as well. He was absolutely convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And because of Abraham's faith, God declared to him righteousness. God had given Abraham a promise regarding the future. And what was that promise? Of a son, right? A son. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90. Oh boy, that's impossible, isn't it, to have kids at that age? Hmm. It's hard enough as grandparents to look after your grandchildren. After a couple days, we're just tuckered right out, you know. But despite this, God believed, not God, but Abraham believed and trusted that God would fulfill that promise to him. He considered what God had said and concluded that what God said he was going to do, despite the situation. An impossible situation. But through it, his faith increased. And he believed God. And of course, a son was born to him. Now that was faith. The principle of faith is explained to us. It is simply taking God at his word and his promises and allowing God to be God in every and any situation that we find ourselves in. And we are to have a similar faith in God as well, to believe that he's going to fulfill what he has promised. Third, faith involves faithfulness. This is someone who is loyal, someone who is committed, someone that can be trusted. We find this in 1 Corinthians. Now, it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. God's word gives a marvelous critique of God's children. We are to be what? Faithful. Faithful. God's desire for us to be faithful, because when we are faithful, we bring honor, praise, and glory to him. And to be faithful brings us back to the foot of his throne and asks, Lord, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? What is there that I need to do? I know a fellow, a friend actually, very quiet guy, not loud or not pushy, very, very seldom made speeches. When he came up front, it was very short and very sweet and very nervous, and then it was done. Yet over and over, he'd always end up being a chairman or a leader over a task force. Now, a new person came into the church family, began to take notice of this fellow who was taking over, was running all these organizations from time to time. He did a little background check as well. He began to ask some of us in the church, why were you choosing him? What were your reasons for choosing him to be a leader or to be a chairman or whatever? And this was his comment after. He says this is the comment that was actually given to him after he asked all these questions. Because he is faithful. If he accepts a task, then he does it. God needs to trust us with his most valuable possession, the faithful practicing of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our everyday lives. This is a message we all need to hear today, because we live in a society that seeks to eliminate our Christian witness and remove God's standards, not only from public life, but from private life as well. We need to take a stand. When God tells us to be faithful, he's reminding us that times will come that will test our faith and our faithfulness as well. It's relatively easy to be faithful when there is no crisis or no test or within a group of believers. What about going into the lunchroom where you work? That's sometimes a very nice place to be sometimes. But are you faithful? To be faithful is to be faithful to our commitment to Jesus Christ no matter what is happening. The greatest need for us today is a deepened sense of faithfulness and loyalty to Jesus Christ our Lord. We need to realize that weak Christianity always leads to compromise and moral defeat. In fact, in 2 Peter, we become nearsighted. We become blind. But we are challenged to be faithful. We have nothing to lose and everything to gain. See, a faithful Christian is one who believes in God's word, has confidence in the person of God, and is loyal, faithful, and trustworthy in their service to God. Now let's look at what can be said about the life of faith. Let's step into that right now. Because it involves confession, confessing our faith. What I mean is we acknowledge our faith in Jesus Christ before others. Some of us have family members that don't know Jesus. Do they see your faith? Do they see Jesus in you? How about your friends? Do they see Jesus in you? Do they see that you have strong faith? And those whom we work with or work for, do they see Christ in us? Do they see our faith? I'm going to just get a little personal here. I can remember when I got really sick, real sick, a few years ago now, a long time ago. And I struggled with it for quite some time, and there was a fellow in church that said, you know what really amazes me? You're going through all of this. Everything's just, your health is just right out there. But I noticed one thing, is your faith. You haven't lost it. It shows. And that's what people need to see today, is our faith. Our faith in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There are at least two things involved in confessing our faith. It's something we must do as a condition of our salvation. In Romans 10, it says, For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth you are saved. God's word says we must believe in our hearts. That means mom can't believe for you. Dad can't come to Jesus for you. And a pastor can't bestow salvation upon you. You must make a decision for Jesus personally. Believing in Jesus is a lot different than believing the facts about Jesus. Believing in Jesus demands that you personalize your faith in him. Jesus is Savior and Lord. But you must confess that yourself in order to be saved. He rose from the dead, but you must believe that for yourself and accept God's word that Jesus' death was sufficient for all your sins. Some of us figure it was just only for part of them, but Jesus died for all of our sins. Second is something we do throughout our lives. Matthew 10, Jesus says, if you acknowledge, anyone acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I'll openly acknowledge that person before God, my Father in heaven. But if anyone denies me here on earth, I'll deny that person before my Father in heaven. And I think Jesus is talking about our faith here. To confess it before the world that we belong to him. We are his children. Very powerful principle. Jesus says there is a direct connection between confessing our faith, that is to acknowledge him publicly. And I think that's very difficult for a lot of us. Do you find it hard to publicly confess your faith? Do you? I do. Sometimes I really do. I have a fellow that was a pastor, and he was in a McDonald's restaurant. And a bunch of bikers came in with their Hell's Angels t-shirts, you know, leather. And this one great big man was in that group. This fellow was there with his grandchildren. And what his grandson did? He went up to that big guy and says, come here, I want you to eat my grandpa. He knows Jesus. He says, I just about died. Right there. But he says, you know what, it turned into one of the greatest breakfasts I ever had. That I could proclaim my faith to this group of men who didn't know him. But sometimes life is going to be like that, and you've got to be prepared for it. Don't be afraid to share your faith and acknowledge Jesus Christ to those who ask. 1 John 4:15 says, but all who proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. Share your faith, even though it may scare you. Share it. The life involves living by faith. This means we conduct our lives with trust in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2, I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I live my life in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice that we are to live by trusting in the Son of God. Our daily lives are to be a walk of faith. As children, as God's children, we may not always know where he is going to lead us. Do you know where he's going to lead you tomorrow? Do you know? Do you know if you're even going to have tomorrow given to you? None of us know. We have an idea what we want to do tomorrow. But remember, tomorrow's in God's hands. Let him lead you. Take his hand and walk with him. We all need to trust him. We all need to live by faith. We need to look unto Jesus in all our situations in life, trusting him in all things. Living by faith involves trusting in the works of Jesus, not our own, that his death was truly not only for our sins, but the sins of those that we come in contact with. In Titus, it says, God our Savior saved us not because of the good things we did, but because of his mercy, he washed away our sins and gave us a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us because of what Christ did, Christ our Savior did. He declared us not guilty because of his great mercy. And now we know that we have inherited eternal life. To believe means we have faith in the fact that Jesus died for us. We do not save ourselves. God saves us. And how did he do it? Well, through the miracle of a new birth, through God's word, through the work of the Holy Spirit. All of us can remember the day that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Do you remember that day? Some of you us might be quite young at that time, but do most of us remember the day that we accepted Jesus? That day he washed away our sins. He made us a new person. The Holy Spirit came to dwell within us, and then we began to live a life of faith, trusting in Jesus. And of course, the life of faith involves benefiting from faith. This means we enjoy the benefits that come from the life of faith, such as joy, peace, and hope. Romans 5:15 says, may the God of hope fill you with how much joy? All joy. And peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So joy is knowing that we have a right relationship with God. It's not something we can create. True obedience, true joy is obedience to God regardless of what life throws at us. True joy is inner stability regardless of our circumstances. Peace? Interesting. We are to live in peace. We're to view tomorrow and even today, not with panic, but with peace. Yet, you know, sometimes when I look around at some Christians, boy, their lives are just chaotic. They look like a dog chasing their tail. Round, around, around, around they go. No peace in life. But when we take the peace of Christ into our lives, we will live lives that are not hassled or worried or chaotic. We'll live life by faith. And hope, which we sang about this morning. Hope is the assurance to live today with the confidence to face tomorrow with courage. And we can have joy, peace, and hope because of the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And when we live with these benefits, we will enjoy the blessings that come from a life of faith. And through our faith in Jesus Christ, we can receive such benefits. Life of faith involves maintaining our faith. Did you know that we have to work at it? By this, I mean we remain steadfast in the faith we have in Christ. Colossians 1 said, if you indeed continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. So, we're to live by faith. Live by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. Firmly confident that God will look after us and watch over us. So let's bring it to a close. A Christian is one who must take their faith very seriously because it's essential to their salvation. It's essential to their Christian life as well. First question I'm going to ask, are you living by faith? How many are you living by faith today? Hopefully all of you are. Do you believe what has been revealed about Jesus Christ? That he was nailed to the cross, to a cross, died, was buried, and rose from the dead on the third day? Do you believe that? Do you have the confidence in him that he can deliver on what he promises? Are you a trustworthy child of God, someone who can he can count on to be faithful? Tough questions to answer, right? But they shouldn't be. Unless you and I can answer in the affirmative to such questions, you and I have yet to experience that the importance of being a Christian includes living by faith. So, we need to live by faith, trusting that God will look after us. I know that we like to see things, but remember, we live also in heaven as well. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, today, as we leave here, stress upon our lives and our minds that we are to live by faith. That wherever we go, we are to confess our faith to those that we meet. We're to live by faith, trusting every moment in you. And Father, someday soon, even though we live by faith today, we really can't see. Someday soon, we'll be in your presence. And what a glorious, wonderful day that will be. A day of great rejoicing. So be with us today, Father. Let's take your word into the places that we work and live and into the places that we go and proclaim your great salvation to all. In the wonderful and glorious name, amen.